So, Matthew chapter 28, very end of Matthew's Gospel, and verse 16. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he's told the disciples to go to a mountain. It says in verse 16, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" It's the Lord's word, and I pray that he'll... So many of you, I know, will remember the days before we had these acoustic panels in here. Do you remember? And it was really difficult to have a conversation, even if you were standing next to one another. And I've even got videos of it. If you made a loud clap, the sound would reverberate for something like 5 seconds. And, just the thinking back to the youth club that was in here for a while and the noise just makes me shudder. And I guess if I'd have been trying to preach here when it was like that, it would be very difficult to hear. And at the end of every sentence, you'd have heard the last word sort of echoing around the room for a few seconds. And it's interesting that at the end of Matthew, Mark and Luke, and to some extent John, you'll find something ringing in the air that lingers. It's the pronouncement of the unstoppable mission of the church. We're thinking about the church over these weeks, and today we're going to be thinking about the mission of the church, the unstoppable mission of the church. In fact, not only at the end of the Gospels, but if you would turn to Acts, you'll find the same at the beginning as the church begins to do the work there in chapter 1 and verse 8. Sort of the whole book of Acts is set out before you when it says in chapter 1 and verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem," that's where they were, "Judea," a bit bigger, "Samaria," a bit further, "and to the ends of the earth." So the ends of all the Gospels and the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, the sound ringing in the air is this mission of the church. A clarion call of Jesus that the church should go into all of the world proclaiming the gospel, baptizing and discipling those who turn to him. We call it evangelism. The evangel is the good news, telling people the good news. And so if you're a Christian, your task is not simply to receive God and to trust in his word and to enjoy being part of his church, which surely you do, I hope you do. Yes, it involves singing nice songs, listening to nice sermons, enjoying nice food together, doing Bible studies together, sharing life together, experiencing warm, fuzzy feelings of happiness together, yes. But he also wants us as individuals and as a church to be fulfilling the task that he's given us, the mission that he's given us. He wants us to roll our sleeves up and get stuck in to the massive task of making disciples to the ends of the earth. It's going to be hard. It's going to be messy. We're going to have to step outside of what we feel comfortable with. But this is the mission of the church that he has called us to be part of. What if you know about this call? Do you feel the tug in your heart to want to tell people about this good news, to get involved in this great commission? I wonder if we're doing anything about it. I'm going to look at it in 3 points. just to help us break it up. But to start with, I had it in a different order, but I've changed the order. I'm just going to start straight away in verses 19 and 20, the beginning of verse 20. What we call the Great Commission. There's a quote, a famous quote by an Archbishop of Canterbury called William Temple. He said, "The church is the only society that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members." I'm not sure if that's absolutely true. I guess we could have a bit of debate about it, but there's definitely something in it, that the church is here for the benefit of those who are not yet heard of the Lord Jesus, not yet part of the church. The call to take the gospel to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of Jesus Christ. So beyond the worship of God, and I'll come back to that, beyond the worship of God, the greatest task of the church today is the Great Commission. Let's just look at those verses, the really famous words from the Bible. Jesus said, verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." So it starts with the word go. Well, there's a clue. It's going to be uncomfortable. There's something that's going to take us from where we are. Something that's going to move us on. Something that's going to challenge us, make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. There's something to go. So a lot of work that the church does over the years, and we've done it too, is to invite people to come. And there's nothing wrong with asking people to come. And if they'll come, praise the Lord. You know, if we have a carol service and we fill the room like we did last year, praise the Lord. But our default is to go. Is to go. And so let me encourage you as well, as we're thinking about the cafe, yes, we want to invite people to come, but that's not the entirety of our mission. Our mission is to go. In our lives, to be people who are going. And what have we got to do? Make disciples. Interesting, it says make disciples of all nations. So that makes it plain that we don't just say, well, we're just worried about this little patch. I'm sure we've got a sense of responsibility for this little patch, but the call upon our lives is to the mission of the whole church, to the whole globe. And to make disciples, not just converts. So yes, we want people to hear the gospel. We want people to say, yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus. Yes, we want people to be transformed, born again by the Spirit of God. But that's not the whole task. The whole task is then to help them to become disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus. So it's not just a hit and a run, where we smash and grab and we tell them the gospel and then we run away. We want them to be people who somehow are then discipled, encouraged, that they become part of the church themselves and grow. Then the call is to baptize these people. Notice that we baptize disciples. That's why we don't baptize babies. We baptize disciples. Go and make disciples and then baptize them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we teach them, I think this is part of discipleship, to obey all that Jesus commanded. Now, no doubt that includes preaching sermons for some. It includes having Bible studies for other. But surely also it includes just the conversations that we have. As disciples, as followers of the Lord Jesus, we're encouraging and teaching one another what it is to obey all that Jesus commanded us. In other words, it's informal as well as formal. Now, I want to point out that this does mean you. Because you might have noticed that in verse 16 it says, well, he was talking to the 11 disciples. But certainly the 11 disciples couldn't fulfill this task, because it needed to go to the ends of the earth and it needed to carry on until the end of the age, verse 20. And so this is like a baton that's being passed down through the years. It's how the message got to your ears. You know, it would be fascinating to track back, wouldn't it? If you saw the person that told you about Jesus and then track back, well, who told them and who told them? And it's come to your ears and now it's going out from us to others. We're part of this chain, this link. And it's a call upon our lives that is deeply, I accept it's deeply scary, we'll come back to that in a moment, but it's deeply satisfying and purposeful. You know, perhaps you're someone that's wondering what your purpose in life is. Perhaps you're a child thinking about the future, wondering what the future's going to hold. You know, you've had a big part of your life now with this pandemic and there's been all this fear around. And I wonder what you're thinking about the future. Or perhaps you're a teenager, finding your feet, beginning to realise that you can have opinions of yourself for yourself, and that there can be decisions that you're going to make about your life, and you can see that you've got something to contribute. Or perhaps you're in your 20s, you're in your physical prime, you're fit and you're busy, occupied with all sorts of things. Perhaps you're in your 30s or 40s. Perhaps some of you in jobs, working towards like what might be the pinnacle of your career, feeling a bit of the stress coming upon your life and maybe thriving on it or struggling with it, but feeling that. Or perhaps you're at that sort of age and feeling like you've missed the boat a bit. Or perhaps you're in your 50s or 60s, wondering what the next years will bring and looking forward to retirement. Or perhaps you're in your 70s or over and you're wondering why retirement still leaves a hole that you hoped that was going to be filled in retirement, but it hasn't actually ever happened. You know, we're all, whatever age you are, wherever you are in life, being called to something that is eternal and purposeful and glorious. God's calling you in to His mission. This is His mission that He's given to the church, and He's sending you out in His power. And He's got something for you to do which will last for eternity. What else could you say about in your life that lasts for eternity? This task, if you see people coming to know the Lord Jesus, has an eternal significance for them and for the kingdom of God. If you're the person from whom somebody hears the gospel, or they see your life and it makes a difference to them in order that they want to come and seek God, what a thing to be involved with. What a task to have a contribution towards. That look, one day you might, what a thought, that there might be someone in heaven that you meet that became a Christian because of something that you did. These are weighty things, and something I want to encourage you to invest your life in. It's worth being poor if it means you can obey the Great Commission. It's worth being uncomfortable if it means you can obey the Great Commission. It's worth making that awkward walk across the room to speak to someone you don't know if it has an impact for their eternity. What a thing to be involved with. We all need to hear this Great Commission loud and clear. It might be that God is literally calling you to another nation, to go to another country, to go and get in a plane, to leave behind the things that you make you feel comfortable, and to go abroad and do something somewhere else. You don't necessarily need to be a preacher to do that, by the way. You could be doing some work somewhere and just being... In fact, in many countries, you can't go as a preacher. You need to go to do something else in order to bring the gospel to people. It might be that you have to go to another part of the country, that God calls you to some other place. And you're not going there because of your job, and you're not going there because there's a nice school there, but you're going there because you want to invest time and serve the kingdom of God and see this mission fulfilled. It might be that you go to another town or village with the sole purpose of bringing the gospel to that place. It might be that you live here and what God's saying to you is, out of your house and start meeting with the people of Loftus. Go out with a desire to spread the good news. Just be a nice neighbour to start with and start to meet people, and you'll have opportunities to tell them at some point about the good news. It might be, as I said earlier, that it's just what He wants you to do is just stand up and walk across the room at the end of the service and talk to someone here that you don't know yet. These are all difficult things, but it starts here. It starts with things like opening your home up, welcoming other people, talking to people in the street, talking to a neighbour, talking to a friend, talking to a work colleague, talking to a family member, coming to the prayer meeting on Friday to be praying for the cafe. So there's the Great Commission, this challenge to be involved with something eternal as God is building his kingdom in our generation. What a great calling. The Great Commission. But it's built upon the previous verse. You might say, I guess it's 18 basically. The Great Claim. This is like a prerequisite. This is the foundation upon which the Great Mission is pronounced. And before we look at verse 18, I just want you to notice in verse 17 that as they see Jesus, they worship him. I'm just going to put aside the question about the some doubting. Interesting to read the commentaries about that. It's not quite sure what that means. But there certainly were some there perhaps doubting who he was still, or perhaps even not sure if it was him. But most of them worshipped him. They literally, the word seems to suggest they literally bowed down to him. Now worship always comes before evangelism. You cannot be an evangelist. You cannot be out on mission until you yourself are a worshipper before God. That's fairly obvious, isn't it? That we need to know God before we start telling other people about him. And so if you're here and you're listening to me and thinking, well, yeah, that's all well and good, but perhaps actually today what you need to do is to get to know him first yourself, to worship him, and then you'll be sent off in evangelism. And there's another way of looking at this as well. That evangelism exists where worship doesn't. That's why we need to go and tell others, because they don't know God. They don't worship him. Where there's no worship, there needs to be evangelism. There needs to be the good news to tell them that there is a God. A God who they've offended, but a God who loves them and wants them to come to him. And now let's just turn to verse 18, this great claim. What an amazing thing that Jesus said. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And you'll notice that that's the basis of the therefore in verse 19. So he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus. Go therefore, because I have this authority, I'm sending you out." Making disciples is impossible without this authority, without this foundation. Without this verse, we truly would be being sent out on Mission Impossible. Cue the music. Dun, 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 whatever it is. But actually, because of his authority, this mission is unstoppable. So before we fully grasp and take on this mission that he's given us, we need to grasp the authority of Jesus. You know, if a soldier is to be effective, he needs to understand the authority and the command on which he's under. And he needs to be willing to accept and operate under that authority. So we need to know and understand the one who is sending us and the authority with which he speaks to us. So let's just spend a few moments thinking about the authority of Jesus. How far does it extend? Well, the verse is helpful, isn't it? It says, "All authority in heaven and on earth." So here's a few things to think about. He created all things, John 1 and verse 3. There's nothing that's been created that is not created by him. He created all things. We're told he sustains all things and holds all things together. Hebrews 1:3 and Colossians 1:17. Jesus sustains everything around us, including us ourselves. He has authority over nature. Luke 8, verse 25. Do you remember? When he calmed the storm, the disciples said, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." He has authority over Satan and the demons. Mark 1:27 and 1 John 5:18. You remember when they said, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. Even the demons obey him," they said. His authority also is above all earthly powers. All earthly rulers. There's a lovely image in Revelation 17 and verse 14, and we use the title often, that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That he is above all rulers, all authorities, all powers. Not actually only on earth, but also in the heavenlies. He has authority over sickness. Matthew 4:23, he went around healing people of all sorts of sicknesses and diseases. He has authority over sin. Now, there's a one to get your head around. Authority over sin. You could look up Acts 4:27 and 28, and you'll see that even the greatest sin, putting Jesus on the cross, was under his perfect control. Not accusing God of sinning, but he has authority over even our sin. Authority over conversions. Mark 10:23-27 and Ephesians 2:4-5. First one says, "Who then can be saved? With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." We need to remember in this mission, as we go with the authority of Christ, that we have absolutely no power to transform anybody. That we go in his power and under his authority, because he is the one who is able to save people and not us. He has authority over death. 1 Corinthians 15, 54-58. And then Romans 8:35 and 37. Do you remember those things? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And one of the things that cannot separate us from the love of God, the sword cannot separate us from the love of God. He has power even over death. An authority he has over the mission of the church. He says, doesn't he? "I will build my church." There's no debate about it. There's no ifs and buts about it. Jesus has authority to build his church. And as you're thinking about all those things that I just said he's got authority over, remember, firstly, yes, that this is the one who sends us. Remember, too, that none of these things, therefore, can thwart the mission. That's why I'm calling it the unstoppable mission. The one who sends us has all authority in heaven and on earth. So there's no created thing that can stand in his way. There's nothing that can sustain itself without him. There's no act of nature that can stop God doing his business in saving people. There's no work of Satan or the devil that can stand in the way of the saving power of Jesus. There's no earthly ruler that can do anything that's going to stop Jesus calling his people to himself. There's no sickness that will stop you. There is no sin that will stop you. There is no conversion that you're going to be stuck with because God's not got the power to change the person. He can change anybody. There's no limit to his power to save. And as you go, even death, you know, we get worried, don't we, about, I put my hand up, I admit it. You know, I get worried about what people think of me, and I get worried about what I'm going to say, and I chicken out, and all of those things. And then I read that God's got power over death. What can man do to me? The worst they can do to me is kill me, which brings me into God's presence and I win. Why am I so worried? And you'll know, and you know, it might seem almost ridiculous for me to talk like that, but you'll know that there are missionaries who have lost their lives doing such a thing. Those five young men that went to Ecuador, and were killed by the tribe that they went to reach, an unreached tribe. They flew a plane and eventually landed and sought to go and tell them the gospel, and they were killed. But you know what? In the years that followed, many of that tribe became believers. Their wives went, and many of them became Christians. So even our death wouldn't get in the way of God's mission in this world. This is the absolute authority of Jesus, the one who sends us out in his name. It's unstoppable because of this great claim of Jesus that he has authority over all things. I want you just to turn your attention now briefly to verse 20, in the second part of verse 20b, where it says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." I am with you always. The great comfort. You don't need me to tell you that the Great Commission's scary. Embarrassment, feeling awkward about what to say, feeling awkward about ourselves, what people will think, getting tongue-tied, getting laughed at, getting ignored, being persecuted. But we need to stop and remember that Jesus isn't just sending us out on a mission. He's coming with us. He says that I'm with you always, right to the very end of the age. So the Great Commission is possible because he has that authority that we've just been talking about. But it's possible because he goes with us. Think what it means for you to go out, whether you're going to Timbuktu or just down to the corner shop, but you know that Jesus and his authority is with you. And that commission is upon your heart and upon your soul, and he supports you in it. You go with his sacred presence. You go with his power and strength. You go with his sovereign purposes. You go with his love and his care and compassion. Friends, we haven't got anything to fear. And if you're like me, you need to keep repeating this to yourself. He's with me. He's with me. What am I scared of? And so whether you're going to Lima in Peru, or Liverpool, or Loftus, Jesus will be with you. Whether you're in church, talking to someone that's coming and visiting, or you're in the cafe, or you're in Coronation Road, Jesus will be with you. If you're a Christian, then the eternal Son of God is at your side, and he will remain there until the very end of the age. Think about this room again. I sometimes wonder, you know, bizarre, sort of like a bit of a weird sort of scientific brain at times. You know that these sound waves that we've been talking about, like bouncing around this room, like they must continue even though you can't hear them after a while. You know, and you sort of think, well, I wonder how long they literally just continue to make an impact on the airspace in which we are. That ringing of this gospel message that continues to resound. There's an interesting story I once heard. Someone was preaching on this passage, and he was a pastor, and his wife was going out to work. He worked, I think he had like an office at home, and his wife went out to work somewhere, and when she went, let's say it was 8 o'clock in the morning, she said, "Oh, please would you load up the dishwasher and set it going," and then she drove off to work. And you can imagine there was a few other jobs to do before he did it. And so he got busy with those things and he got a bit distracted, and then something else happened. And before long, it was lunchtime, and he sat down at lunchtime and he said, "Oh, I must remember to put the dishwasher on in a bit," and you know, put it back. And then someone rang, and it was an urgent call, and he needed to go and visit. And he went out and did the visit, and he came back, and then other things were busy, busy, busy. And then he heard the car drive back on to the drive. And it just reminded him straight away, as soon as he heard his wife's car go onto the drive, he thought, "The dishwasher, I haven't put the dishwasher on." And so I'm sure they had a bit of a laugh and a joke, or a shouting match or something when she came in. You know, it was the last thing she said as she went was in his mind, but he never quite got round to it. And Jesus has given us a command. It's the last thing he did before he went. He said, this is what I want you to do. Church, this is what I want you to do. Take this message to the ends of the earth. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them. Teach them all that I have commanded you. And that sound is echoing around the church or our lives, the church, the people. And we don't want to be there on that day, do we, when he comes back and feel like we've forgotten, or we just kept putting it off, or we haven't taken it seriously. It's sort of come in our minds and then we've buried our heads in the sand again. Surely we want to be people who say, yeah, I want to do something about this. I want to take action. I want to do something. I want to be involved in this commission, this task that God's given us. It might be a small way, but I do want to play some role in it. You know, if the Lord is prompting you to get more involved in the Great Commission, then ask him what he would have you do. Ask him who you can speak to. Ask him who you could be praying for. Ask him. Perhaps there's someone here that you could speak to even this morning. Perhaps there's someone at home that you could be praying about how you're going to speak to them. Perhaps there's some concrete action that you need to take, that God wants you to take to submit to his will. And as a church, let's commit together that we want to find ways and we want to be praying about how we can take the message of the gospel to our community here in Loftus. How we can welcome strangers. When people come in the doors who don't normally come, how are we going to make them feel at home? How are we going to speak to them about spiritual things? How are we going to be committed to make sure it is us that has to feel awkward and not them? That we're the ones that are going to go out of our way to go and speak to them. And certainly, let's make the cafe a place where people feel welcome to come and there's these sort of conversations going on. But let's also be committed to go out into our community, speaking the good news of the Lord Jesus. So, we've got a great commission, but it's based, thankfully, on a great claim of Jesus, of his authority. And we have a great comfort. What encouragement we have in the comfort that he is with us, even to the end of the age. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this call. Lord, we believe that you've got so many things for us to enjoy as your church. We praised you for them earlier and we just scratched the surface. But you've also got a great task for us. You've given us this mission that's unstoppable. And we pray you'd help us to find our part in it and help us to play our little role in it, in bringing the good news of Jesus to the people around us. Lord, where we find ourselves discouraged, where we find ourselves rebuffed, where we find ourselves feeling awkward, embarrassed, we find ourselves tongue-tied, Lord, don't let these things stop us from progressing this message. Don't let us give up, we pray, but to press on that we might see fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn. It's an old hymn with a new chorus, Facing a Task Unfinished. And then the chorus is, We Go to All the World.
Jesus Christ the Lord.